Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Raw Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by the Dudley Boys of What Culture, Michael Hanford and Michael Sidgwick, here to look ahead to tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review Raw but also SmackDown, NXT, Dynamite, AW Rampage, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a very good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Hamlet and Sidgwick, look ahead to Raw tonight. Hi, Ade. Very welcome week off. Did I miss anything important last week, Hamlet?
No, and certainly nothing compared to the week before, where had you have missed that one, had COVID struck when it did on the week where Steve Austin was bumped off the front page by Cody Rhodes, I'd feel like you were maybe doing a bit. And you were thinking, I'll wait for the pandemic to be, well, as far as our government are concerned, completely finished before I take time off. So no, I think you nailed it as best as you could have done. But then looking at the lineup that we've got in front of us, where virtually nothing is promoted or promised other than stuff that we can get excited about, it's about as WrestleMania season as it gets. Mm. It's more about they're inviting you at this point to get as wild as you like with speculation. And that means every single Raw and SmackDown, we can just assume total chaos, even if they're promoting almost none of it.
Yeah, I just want the freak show to really come back at this point. The prospect of what that WrestleMania card looks like on paper is insane. And I'm really just dying for that insanity to actually be reflected in the product. It can't possibly look like that and have the TV be as boring and as drab as it is at the minute. Like, come on. Build the Vince match. I know you're waiting for Thursday at that, but get Cody in. Have Austin come in and like with a big steak and a Texas steak. Just summit, man. Austin with his Texas props, Cody doing whatever it is that Cody's going to do. Just come on, man. I want the prospect of what WrestleMania looks like on paper to just be part of the telly.
Yeah, Sid, we touched on this when we were talking about it on our SmackDown review earlier. But do you anticipate more teasers tonight? We got an ATV over on SmackDown, a little breadcrumb for the Stone Cold development. Kevin Owens always shooting on Texas when he's either in front of a camera or on social media. There was the sort of nod and a wink towards Cody being the Miz's teammate against the Bloody Mysterios. Are you expecting more teasers this week, or are they finally going to pull the trigger, do you reckon?
That's the worst thing about several bad things about WWE, too many to count, in fact. But one of the worst things is that, and I understand why they do it, it's a TV industry, ratings. We're not going to get Steve Austin suddenly turn up. It's just not going to happen. He will be advertised heavily. So yeah, the fact that he hasn't, mere hours away from showtime, yeah, it's not happening. It would be awesome if it did. But it's just not the way that WWE does things. I can't remember the last time we got a major surprise appearance. Was Batista advertised when he chinned Ric Flair that time?
Ooh.
No, he wasn't.
There's precedent for me not to be as cynical as this, but I think with Austin, it's different. Actually, was Batista advertised for a Ric Flair celebration?
The birthday party was advertised, but I'm not sure Batista was advertised as part of it, just that there'd be like friends and legends from his career coming back and all that sort of stuff.
But they had their cake and eat it too, so they got the numbers from like Hogan's or whoever was there, and then Batista.
Hmm. Yeah. Tune in for Oksana, but get Batista.
Yeah.
So in terms of things that they've actually advertised for tonight, Hamflet, one of them is sort of a development following on from Edge sitting there with a vein sticking out of his head and a spotlight on him last week. He sort of teased a variety of different people. There was references to, I believe, well, Cody might have been referenced. Damian Priest was definitely referenced, as was Finn Balor. But tonight we may discover who Edge is going to face at WrestleMania. And I think it's safe to say most people would hope someone like AJ Styles. Is that fair?
Yeah. You pieces of shit! It's AJ Styles! I would have liked Cody, you know, the more that it was undeniable was what he said last week, which again just feels like part of WWE's breadcrumbing of the various teasers, like the same as the ATV and the Big E toy that they were selling on SmackDown. They showed us a glimpse of Cody and Edge, and I sort of thought, yeah, actually, that's the proverbial big match. It's a one that Cody can win. It would feel out of nowhere in the way that Cody's imminent arrival does. So him versus Edge would feel big time. There is bigger, of course, than Edge for Cody, but there's also substantially smaller too. So instantly I sort of thought, yeah, why not? But AJ felt like the play before, and it still does, in truth. If you look up and down the card at where someone like a Damian Priest and Finn Balor might fit in, if it's not just against each other in the Darkest Priest versus the Demon in a rematch of the match that we're going to get tonight, AJ and Edge has got that nice, fairly effort-free build. You know, WWE will be grateful to have a match that pretty much is a graphic that speaks for itself for several generations of fans. You know, it's a match that was genuinely a bit of a WWE TNA dream match when both were having their first peaks as singles performers in the mid-2000s, when you would have done the crossover matches, this definitely would have been one. The unlikeliness of it as recent as 2020, before Edge had returned, makes this feel cool, I suppose. And it's not one of the only times, but certainly feels like the best example of an Edge match that when he first came back, you actually wanted to see. Like, Edge Miz might not have been done, but it felt like it had been done before we got it. Edge Orton had been done loads before, like, he came back. And there's just, that's the thing, like, Edge Rollins, I would say, was another one that people genuinely wanted. They got it, and, like, surprise, surprise, it was actually pretty great. So dispense more of those Edge matches that you just thought you were never going to get because he was on the shelf for so long, and this is one of them. I don't think a lot needs to go into this.
What do you reckon, Sidge? Is AJ Styles going to be a part of the On This Day community?
Shit, man, you cock. Yes, I believe so. I can't see them going with Edge versus Damian Priest. Like, you don't tease a better version of something that you're going to deliver. Like, even Vince McMahon, this knacker that he is now, knows as much as that. Yeah, in typical WWE fashion, they've literally 50-50 booked Edge's return, just in a different way. Like, half of it feels like it could have just happened when he was around, which surely betrays the point. And the other bit, like the Danielson stuff with Roman and the Rollins, like, that's the peak. Funnily enough, the peak version of Edge's very uneven, in my opinion, run has seen him work excellent matches with people he couldn't possibly have worked in those roles in 2010, 2011. And so I expect they'll go the AJ route. I think it'll be great. I'm, again, a little bit weary of the way in which this is going to get sold, like Edge saying stuff like, you know, I like you, AJ, you got heart. I respect you, Match. Yeah, cool. I respect you both as well, but I also would prefer a good story. We are it on the night.
You mentioned Damian Priest there, Sidge. He's in action tonight defending his United States Championship against Finn Balor, who made a triumphant return last week to TV.
See all that one more time.
Finn Balor, Damian Priest for the US title this evening.
I just heard three things I couldn't get care less about. Damian Priest, Finn Balor, US title. Finn Balor, I like, but you'd have to be an absolute mug, a total and utter mug, to think at this point that, hey, they protected the Demon, or that they are going to do anything substantial with him that's got a lasting plan. You'll get 3.5 stars in front of a pretty boring bored crowd waiting for the freak show at WrestleMania. If in fact they do a switch here and run it back, it is for the US title tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I can see them switching it. I can absolutely see them switching it and running it back at Mania. They had a decent match at one of the old Capital Wrestling Center takeovers, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
The US title's not a prize. They've pretty much lost interest in Priest, and they never really were interested in Balor. So this is exactly the kind of thing that feels sacrilegious to say is going to be boring. Finn Balor doing a work rate match for the US title. How dare you be so negative to say that this is going to be incredibly mid? I think this is going to be incredibly mid in a way that is 3.25, 3.5-star mid. Soulless, good wrestling mid. I can see them switching it and I can see them running it back. Yes. Who cares? Does anyone care about this?
Well, they've both got dark sides, Michael Hanfler, of course.
Ooh, the demon versus the Priest.
Well, you see, I was going to pitch the tag match. Finn Balor and the Demon versus Damien and Priest.
Oh!
got the old mixed tag. Obviously, when there's a like hellbound spirit in the ring, they can only fight the other person's hellbound spirit. And then when they tag out, it can only be human versus human.
You could have like Finn Balor sort of paint.
You could summon my demon or what?
You could have Finn Balor paint half his face. When's that ever gone wrong at WrestleMania? Someone just paint like half their face.
Wellborn.
I think I might have suggested this with Murray on the Raw review last week of Balor kind of being demon halfway through. But obviously, there's such a lot of intricate work that goes into it that when he gets it done under the ring in 5 seconds, it's just like a pie in like Homer Simpson's makeup gun. and tongue demons are weirdo now anyway. So he's like, just comes out with this like paint splattered all over his body. I'm the demon. And the demon, tongue demons, you know, awful. I hate it. Tongue demon gives me the creeps. I just don't like it. The premise was a lot of Monty Python on this show lately. Wafferthin. Damien was like, I want a world title caliber wrestler for my secondary title. And Finn Balor was like, I want a world title. And that was it. That's pretty much why you get in your match. Whether they do the switch or not, if this is WrestleMania bound, it's going to be covered in gimmicks, isn't it? So either you're getting something conclusive tonight and either, you know, Finn Balor wins a title or Damian Priest gets one of his biggest scalps in this run, or you are being told this is the boring version of the bells and whistles match you're going to get in that. I mean, WrestleMania's 5 weeks away. Ordinarily, you say that with a tone of, oh, not long now to get Austin on the show, not long to build something for Cody. 5 weeks is a billion years for Finn Balor and Damian.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Now, we should mention that the world champion on this show, Hanfler, is, of course, WWE champion Brock Lesnar, who appeared to on Friday set up or at least signed a contract for his title unification match with Roman Reigns in an excellent main event on Friday night. But he, of course, has a title defense to get past first. He's defending the WWE Championship on Saturday at Madison Square Garden. This was going to be Bobby Lashley. I don't know whether that's the case anymore with Lashley's injuries. We obviously wish him well in his recovery. Can anyone beat Brock Lesnar, Hamlet?
I mean, no, but can we play the game to find out who it's going to be?
Yes!
Yes!
The game. I like the game.
Yeah, it's not happening, but let's find out who's going to get that big. Someone's going to go at the pay window. Madison Square Garden, Brock Lesnar for the belt. It's going to be the biggest payday of this young, lucky wrestler's life.
Did you know, Hamlet, as well, we had our first game of Baby, You Can Drive My What?
Yes.
With the ATV, of course, for the New Day.
Of course, yeah.
Right, hang on. I'm just loading this up now.
That was my witness. I told you there would be some kind of vehicle at this time of year. I don't know why they do it, but there's always vehicles.
I'm more and more confident now with this potential Priest Balor thing that Damian Priest is going to have like a half and half car. I think I've called that shot from day one, but we'll see. Anyway, let's play the game. No one can beat Brock Lesnar, but who will he face at Madison Square Garden? Should we play this twice? Do you want each one to have a guess?
Yeah.
Okay, right. Hamflet, tell me when to stop.
Stop.
And give me a number between 1 and 4.
1.
Okay. So, facing Brock Lesnar in Madison Square Garden is, according to Michael Hamlet, Big George!
Yes!
Oh, what
that? I'd pay to watch that.
Yeah.
That was quite the selection you had. 1 was Omos, 2 was Otis, which, oh, yes, please. Great, yeah. 3 was Quinzalina, and 4 was R-Truth. So that could have been interesting as well.
They could legitimately do R-Truth, actually. He could be running around MSG trying to get that bloody 24-7 title, and then he sees the one over Brock's shoulder. Yeah, it's what I want. It's my 24-7 title. Because he's sick still. And then Brock absolutely destroys him.
Brock finds him funny, doesn't he? He quite likes him.
Like for a shoot, he says, "I want R-Truth to get the big payday. I want it on the Madison Square Garden scoreboard so that like R-Truth can show his family, headlining MSG."
Sige, over to you, mate. Tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Okay, another number between 1 and 4.
3.
Okay. I mean, this probably makes a thread of storyline sense. I mean, it's not going to happen, but according to Michael Sidgwick, challenging Brock Lesnar in MSG is a man also with 3 letters associated with his name, MVP. That's right, MVP versus Brock. That actually would make a lot of sense. Like, my boy can't fight, but I'll fight instead. Don't worry.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay to watch that. Absolutely not paying money to watch that.
You were one level off, Sige, having Brock Lesnar in Madison Square Garden face Kevin Patrick. Which, yeah, would be good as well.
It's class when you like have to play this game to compensate for the fact that they don't really build anyone, because like realistically, who's Brock Lesnar gonna fight in MSG?
I've
got no one and they've got nothing.
I'm looking at the roster now and like, what, Austin Theory?
Ugh.
Montez.
I'd redo that. Run that back. It's incredible.
Absolutely incredible.
Montez Ford could be fun. I mean, he's going to get lobbed all over the shop, but there's not many, let's just say that. But let us know your...
That's dead.
Paul Heyman not say he's got a bit of involvement in this?
Potentially, yes.
So I think, is it not going to be that they're going to just lumber some heel with Paul Heyman as a manager and then the big tease, and it'll be filmed for content online or for clips on Raw, SmackDown, that he's going to get his hands on Paul Heyman, he's going to go to hit him with the F5, and then Roman's going to show up with a saving spear or something like that, and that's going to be our Roman. Nearly took out Brock Lesnar at the Garden.
What if Paul Heyman comes out in Madison Square Garden and says, I'm sorry, the person who's replacing Bobby Lashley isn't here yet, but start the match and then he'll arrive. It's a Cody tease. Cody's going to beat Brock for the title in Madison Square Garden. Title for title is now Cody versus Roman at WrestleMania.
Nope.
We've got a huge tag title match next week, of course. It was originally the Alpha Academy versus RK-Bro, but now Rollins and Owens are keeping themselves busy for a week or two until we can set up Austin versus Kevin Owens, basically. What do you think of this becoming a trio? What is it? A three-way.
Triple threat is WWE's IP. The other promotions that aren't allowed to use triple threat, which Adam Cole forgot about, they use three ways. Trios is AEW's version of a six-man tag. WWE's lame and doesn't get trios.
You ask me, the triple threat is still the best stable in professional wrestling.
I like Kevin Four Horsemen, which is, of course, Dick Flair.
Get out of the way, old man.
But yeah, I assume this is probably one of the last weeks we can actively enjoy RK-Bro, Sige.
Oh, probably, aye. Yeah.
It does feel like they're heading in that direction, Ryan Amfler, and it's just going to be the teams riling each other up whilst Gable and Otis just sit back, I sense, this week again.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I wouldn't say that the RK-Bro thing has maybe gone on a couple of weeks too long, but by them still having a glimmer of hope, it again justifies why Randy Orton hasn't completely thrown the towel in. Quite a nice job in the last few weeks of Orton looking increasingly exasperated with Riddle and then results not going his way, which is the important thing. You know, you've got to try and tie this to why it is they all go to work. When WWE remember that, things are exponentially better. And that's what's happened with Orton here. You had last week, was it Owens and Seth were victorious, and the week before, Riddle getting jumped in the aisle caused Randy to get out the ring. And then when he got back in, he got stomped, all that sort of stuff. So they're actually making what, like, Riddle's farting around is now costing them matches, which is what gives Orton his plausible deniability when he eventually just says, well, you know, what else was I expected to do? I've been dragged into the mire here with this guy, and it was all fun and games and we were champions, but I've got to be realistic. You don't get to be Randy Orton by hanging around with a loser like this forever. So next week, when they don't win the belts back, the turn won't just feel a shocking turn. It'll be sad, and it'll be all those things that everybody's always wanted about the eventual day that Orton just snaps, but it won't not be justified too. So I don't actually mind this. I'm not terribly excited by the methods of getting there. Like, let's just keep doing matches to build matches. It feels like everybody's beating everybody. The tag team's I love, you know, we all kind of get our kicks off a Chad Gable promo every week. It was really telling last week that Gable had a match and then they still made a point before Raw ended to give him promo time. Like, you are in Vince McMahon's, not just in his good books, in his best books, if they're going to find two segments for a mid-card tag team act because the guy wants to see you wrestle and then wants to see you talk. So I think what we're picking up from Chad Gable is being appreciated by Vince McMahon as well. Super ideal, right time of year for you know, and richly deserved as well for Gable. So that's quite nice. But yeah, in terms of the actual, I don't feel like I need to see any more combination of these guys wrestle. So it's going to be earned when the turn happens, but I'm not terribly excited about getting there now.
Echo those points completely.
Thank you. finally. By the way, just a quick update in the Wilborn household. Anne-Louise, still not a huge fan of me going, shoosh! So, weird that. Not a fan of the Alpha Academy.
In fact, Adam Wilborn there.
Love that, Wilborn.
Sige, that Logan Paul aligned himself with The Miz last week to presumably set up a tag team match against the Mysterios at WrestleMania. Didn't I last see Logan Paul, or one of the last times I saw him, squaring up to The Miz? Have they just suddenly realised, hey, we've got a lot in common, actually?
Who cares about the continuity here.
Granted.
At least arrived at, they finally booked Logan Paul as a heel. How is he not a heel to begin with in this company?
Yes.
I still love the fact that Logan Paul coming into WWE to avenge his mate The Miz against the dastardly 2-on-1 attacks and cheating of Rey Mysterio. It is wonderful. It is the worst wrestling promotion ever, sometimes for the most drab reasons, sometimes for the most evil reasons, sometimes, just sometimes, it's for the funniest reasons. And this is really funny. I expect it's going to get less funny now that the optics of heel Mysterio's being sort of equalized, if you like, by Logan Paul. That was always funnier in my stupid, pedantic, stark head than it actually was on telly. Logan Paul should go out and cut a goddamn promo on Dominic Mysterio and try not to babyface himself in the process. It'll be really funny, this. It'll be really good. Logan Paul is a complete cock. Everyone who doesn't like him, it's either love or you hate him. He's got this weird cult following that's actually quite substantial. But I'm ready for him to be a cock to Rey Mysterio, because I want to receive Rey Mysterio as a pro wrestling legend again, not some guy who's just there being his, just looking after his large adult son, just 25 years old. Just, I want to receive Rey Mysterio as this incredibly spirited, spectacular, beloved character again, how he should have been treated all along. Of all people, Logan Paul might be the guy who reminds people just who the goddamn hell Rey Mysterio is. Just put what I love about WWE's use of celebrities is as well, they usually just give them a live mic to mixed effects, mind you. When they gave it to Bad Bunny, it was like not the smoothest promo, but it was incredibly passionate and heartfelt. When they gave it to the Balls, that was not a good idea. When they give it to the Diva Search contestants, that's not a good idea either. But they always give a hot mic to the people who don't want to be embarrassed by these scripted promos. These people who have more respect shown to them by Vince McMahon. I don't have to read this rubbish. That's just for the dorks that I hire all year long. So Logan Paul getting actual mic time to be Logan Paul, within reason, should get heat because he knows how to get it. That's why he's so popular. So this program should actually be half decent tonight. All the celebrity stuff, I contend, all the celebrity stuff is going to be exponentially better than the wrestling at WrestleMania, because that's all they care about.
Yeah, I totally agree. I would like to see Mysterio's legacy reestablished rather than doing what he's doing. But there's going to be another day for that. And it's like we, Logan Paulways said, you're born. When the first time Dominic Mysterio appeared on television, we knew that the breaking of one family would be down to the unity of another. Of course, in this case, the Paul brothers and The Miz. So Logan Paul and The Miz, effectively like brothers, like often Mike Mizanin's pretty much considered the third Paul brother, are going to pull apart the fabric of a father and a son. Rey Mysterio's legacy cannot be assured because for the longest time now, he's been carrying Dominic. Maybe it's time for Dominic to carry Rey to the back after losing to Logan Paul and The Miz. And I don't want to get into the realm of fantasy booking, so I'm going to leave you, Wilborn, to come up with what could happen after that. Because you know, it's obviously they're going to lose because it's a celebrity. It's Logan Paul and The Miz. They're going to get the big W. But then how do the Mysterios rebound from such a defeat? Or does Rey himself rebound from the stage, the cold grid of the stage, the cold grit of deception? At the hands, arms, and shoulders of his, quote, large adult son.
You know what they say? Everything's bigger in Texas, whether it be, I don't know, land or food or whatever it is. And also, electric chairs to your dad! It's the biggest in Texas!
I mean, is it still active in Texas? That's a serious question.
Indeed, yes, a good question. Do you know what I had an idea for this week with these, genuinely? I've been racking my brains for this, and... not sure if you remember a period called the Attitude Era, but it was kind of popular. Remember that? You heard of, seen this? You heard about this? And one of the vivid memories I have from back then was Chris Jericho pissing in a pot of tea. Remember this? You seen this? You heard about this? Yeah. Well, Logan Paul, having had a feud and several high-profile boxing matches with British YouTuber KSI, as part of his sort of weird redemption... having gone filmed in a suicide forest a few years back, and well, being related to Jake Paul, who has no redeeming qualities. Part of his redemption is sort of making this new friendship with a guy who he despised and feuded with on YouTube. Not only are they now friends, but they've got their own drink. It's called Prime, and you can drink it. So why not have Logan Paul gift The Miz a bottle of Prime? But guess what? They've only gone and left it out, and the Mysterios, they're going to piss in it. That's what my prediction is this week.
Great.
More piss stuff for me.
We need to be stopped.
The Mysterios.
Good. Well, let us know your thoughts ahead of Monday Night Raw. Job done.
Another one on the docket.
Let us know your thoughts on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch, they can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
Follow Michael Sidgwick at
M Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE, as I said. Make sure you subscribe to WhatCulture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, the SmackDown review and the Rampage review available right now. And make sure you leave us a 5-star review, because tomorrow, I believe, is the 150th 5-star review. And unlike WWE, we actually celebrate those sorts of things. So maybe it will be yours. Send us a 5-star review on iTunes, suggesting something short, crap, and wrestling-related for us to talk about instead of a god-awful Monday Night Raw segment. But for now, this has been the Raw Preview. My thanks to the Dadley Boys. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.